Welcome back to Educator Diaries. I'm Chantelle.
I'm Maria.
And today is episode 21.
Wow, 21. What is it today?
Okay, we're a starting point for sustainability in childcare or early childhood. Yeah.
All right, so give me a sort of a brief rundown on how this is it part of childcare? Is it part of the assessment and
rating? Yeah, and it's a big part of the EYLEF curriculum and that. So there has been another updated version, 2.0, and the second phase of this has started in February this year, 2024. So what the new curriculum has brought in is that looking at sustainability in three sections. So looking at embedding these practices, you know, like I think it's just to help people and centres with a starting point as and looking at all different areas, not just like your basic sustainability stuff. So we're looking at environmental, which is like focuses on reducing waste, food, water, recycling, etc. Then you also have economic, so how to be a good consumer, and social. So we're looking at inclusion, fairness, peace and things like that. So
If this is something new to a centre that's never done it before, what's the best thing to start off?
So I would, like, if I've got a new centre, then I would sit down, first of all, look at some professional development for staff. Maybe, obviously, you know, with your first staff meeting, see if there's anyone on your team that is passionate about sustainability, because therefore it's great to have one or more people that are driving that part of the program as well. So some centres will have one sustainable like officer as such, or you may have one person per room that can, you know, can be almost in charge of those sustainable practices and helping educate and drive that program in that way. Okay. So, so obviously start with your staff meeting, do some brainstorming.
Right.
There's some amazing Facebook groups out there that I would say would be a great starting point. So it's sustainability in early years and Inspired EC some good ones to look at. So this is what I love about childcare now, is that back in the day we didn't have all this networking, whereas Facebook groups and things like that just really open it up for everybody to, you know, even ask a question. Like, you can go on there and ask a question, how do I start, and you'll be flooded with all these people willing to help you out as well. So
how can we make it that, you know, we've got a centre, and how can we make it so overwhelming?
You know, not to be so overwhelming. Let's make it overwhelming.
There's enough overwhelming things that you have to do that.
I know. And that's just
so
it.
I
think most centres and really, you know, your basic stuff that most centres do is, you know, like, and it is just a bit of a, probably looked not as a just a ticker box things, but basic stuff is, you know, a lot of centres do, you know, compost, or they do worm farms, or they'll have edible gardens, which, don't get me wrong, we had a fantastic veggie patch at my old centre and the kids loved it. Like, they were really passionate about, like, watering it every day, and it is so exciting to see, you know, those vegetables and things grow and, you know, eating out of the garden, like, from, like, fresh stuff as well. So a lot of centres will have chickens as well if you've got the space and that. So we're lucky to have chickens. So they're, you know.
Again, to the chickens for
Food waste. And food waste. So keeping in mind, I was told that you can't use the eggs in the centre because they're not stamped. So they've got to, you know how all your eggs that you buy from a supermarket are stamped. So
fresh eggs coming out of the chicken that you are feeding.
You can't
use those eggs.
Well, that's what I was told. I don't know if anything's changed but what we do with those eggs is obviously offer them to the families, or the staff would take them home and that. So, so that was it.
So how do you know? Well, because you've got centres who use caterings for the children's meals.
Yep.
So how do you know if they're do they have that advertised? They use a sustainable practice?
Well, because a big thing about it is about being a good consumer. So what a really good sustainability point is to do is to look locally for fresh fruit and veg from, you know, local farmers or, you know, local fruit shops and things like that, because it's about reducing the carbon footprint of having trucks coming from everywhere to, you know, to give you your food. So if you do have a centre that is being catered for, then, you know, you could ask them about where they're sourcing them. Yeah. Are they sourcing them locally as well? Yeah. And then if not, then obviously, you know, try and do other sustainable practices that, you know, reduce your carbon footprint within the centre as well. Yep. So I know that, like, for us, because we had the chickens, so all our food waste would go to the chickens, and we also had horses. So, the you know, a lot of the fruit and stuff would go to the horses. Some other centres will use that food waste to send home in bags and stuff for families' animals and things like that. So, you know, some – otherwise, you know, children do, like, you – get to the end of the day and, you know, you've got this all these like food, and then it's also sitting in bins and smelling and what have you. So that's a really good sustainable practice. If you've got like families that have got animals and things like that, you can say, are you, you know, put your name down on a, like on a list if you'd like to take home some food scraps at the end of the day. Yeah. So, yeah, so look, there's so many things that you can actually do, and that's what I thought today would be a great day, just to chat about some, you know, some different resources and different things you can do, like
so this is like we talk about, this is one step further, which everyone's probably practicing, well, everyone should be practicing at home anyway, like, because you've got recycle bins.
Well, that's just it. So I think, you know, like we sit there and go, oh, all this stuff, but you don't, like, don't remember, back when we were kids, there was no recycle bins. It was one bin. Everything went in that bin and you click the lid on. Remember that old one that you click the lid on?
Right,
and the garbage man would come and just toss it all in. Whereas now these kids are used to knowing that there's different coloured bins or there's, that's where our plastics go or that's where our paper goes, and that's the beauty of all this education. It's coming. It will become second nature for these children as well, which is the whole, you know, that's the whole goal as well. So, like, just some different ideas that, you know, you can do with, like I said, like Cool Australia have some really good resources online. Yeah. A lot of it is primary based resources, but there's some early years ones on there as well that staff can do some training with, and there's some stories on there that, you know, you can maybe even like share with the children about recycling as well.
So just generally thinking, what's environmentally friendly, you know, when we're looking at doing certain things in the centre. So looking at basically like
changing
soaps, detergents.
Yeah, so changing them over to biodegradable ones that will break down easier in the centre. Yep. So that's a really good thing to do. Yeah. I know a lot of centres use bread bags. So they bring the bread bags in for nappy changing. And that's so, like, instead of using a nappy bag, they, you know, put the bread, like, don't put the bread in. They put the nappy in there and wrap it up. So, to dispose of it. So,
I have an issue with this. Only because, and I'm speaking honestly, because, you know, the nappy change area, we talk about hygiene practices, and we've got families bringing in bread bags that, you know, been handled, either they've used in the kitchen and the hands have been dirty outside the bags, and then we bring them into the centre and they're supposed to be in that area.
Yeah.
Why not use biodegradable bags?
Yeah, well, I think it's just I think it comes down to a consumer thing as well. It's like, consuming. But again, I'm sure, like, we actually have used those before, those food biodegradable bags for our nappy changing. Other centres actually use newspaper. So they'll get the newspaper and they'll wrap up the nappy in a newspaper and use that. And that is actually meant to help the smell as well. So I have seen it, like, been at a centre that they've used newspaper. Like, all the families, again, it's about getting the families to help.
The whole practice.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so you're inviting the families and then you're making them think about sustainability as well. So I know another idea was...
Well, because many years ago, remember we used to, and I remember, and this is back in the day, remember for craft activities, we used to get the parents to bring in the toilet rolls.
Yeah, so no toilet rolls anymore.
No, so that's stopped.
Yes.
You see?
Because it was coming out. So what you do instead, you ask them, like, paper towel rolls and things like that.
And wear the glad wrap aluminium rolls and things like that.
It's just because I think the toilet rolls was because they'd come from the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, garbage bags going into the bathroom. Like, you know, the bread bags. That's what I'm talking about. So you got to draw the line of where it's sensible and where it's really could be practiced in a...
Yeah, but I guess the bread bags haven't been in the toilet.
I know, but I'm saying they've been in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they've been handled, like, you know.
All right, well, we might agree to disagree on that one. So, you know, there's lots of centres doing that, but that's okay.
I mean, go for it.
Yeah,
But I think that's the part of being you know, thinking, oh my gosh, to go to that extent of, it can become very overwhelming.
It can,
for a centre that's not practicing it fully.
No, that's right. So that's when you start with your basic things, like you know, make sure that the lights are all turned off when the children are playing outside, and when you don't need to have that electricity running things, and stuff like that.
You
collect all the water from the water bottles. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if you're emptying out the children's water bottles, if they're, you know, if they're not like taking them home or whatever, and you water the gardens without with any excess water that you have in the centre.
For sure.
So even like there's some centres that do have the food, you know, brought in that they have in bain-marie. So you use the water out of the bain-marie. So it's just rather than just dumping stuff, you're using those, consuming those things that are already in the centre as
which
well.
Which makes it sustainable for the environment.
Yeah. So you're just not like wasting as well. So other ideas too is like let's look at like op shops. So op shops are a really good way of being like, you know, a great consumer in the sense that we don't have to always buy everything brand new.
No.
We can go to an op shop and buy crockery or we can buy some like resources and toys. So that is a form of recycling as well.
Yeah.
So and even if you're, you know, I know we've all centres end up with, you know, a ton of lost property, even though you'll ask every parent under the sun, you know, who does this belong to, donate that to charity after X amount of time. Say, you know, put out a post, this is about to go, please check, you know, for your child's belongings. Yeah. You know, those things can then be donated to charity as well.
But also too, like I remember that we used a lot of, there was a resource place called Reverse Garbage.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know if it's still there. But when it came to craft ideas, I mean, that place had a whole lot of
It wasn't resources. Just craft. They had heaps of stuff like,
From metal to like...
like even those big cone thing that there's like,
Yes, it was quite resourceful. And again, to going there with the knowledge of, okay, for children to use their imagination.
Mm.
I think you mentioned to me...
about loose parts?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's like a great place to go for just loose parts play. So a lot of centres, again, setting up just as like a corner or even an outdoor shed that becomes the loose parts play thing. So, you know, you've got planks of wood, you could have tyres, you could have like traffic cones, you could have just wood in general or anything like that, that then you just let them use their own imagination as to what they want to create as well. So, that's definitely like a great place. And loose parts is also a really good part of sustainability as well because it doesn't have to fit somewhere. It's not, you know, it could be a puzzle that you've lost half the pieces for. Well, you know what, let's just put this here and the children can create their own things out of it.
That's a great idea.
I think a big part of the social part also is also teaching children to be responsible. Like, you know, so... Things just aren't, you can't just break something and we're going to get something new.
No.
Like, you know, part of the, it's not just about the resources and what we're doing, it's about educating them on, you know, being a good consumer.
Yeah. We used to have that, I don't know if you remember, we used to have a sign about books. Books are precious.
Yes, yep,
you
yep.
know, yep. Of teaching them how to handle the books and turning the pages and things like that to keep our books nice and new.
Yeah. Well, you've even got a lot of centres that do the street libraries now as well. So, you know, some have a proper little box made up. It could even just be, I know our little local town, we've just got a bookshelf outside the supermarket where parents can donate books or you can take books. So even centres themselves, like if you don't have the area, you can even just set up a table outside saying, please,
that's,
you know.
Again, you know, sort of involving the community.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, again, it doesn't have to be just about books. It can be like some centres also do food or clothing and things like that, saying, you know, give some, take something. Some. You know, if... You know, if a family's doing it tough, then maybe those couple of packets of noodles that night might just tie them over, or that packet of pasta or what have you. So, again, it's a sustainable practice. It's sharing and it's being, like...
I like that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's great. Well, I mean, there's lots of different ways and ideas and I think the first and foremost is to make sure you don't set a very high expectation at first because if you go gung-ho all at once...
Yeah.
And sort of come tumbling down because it takes a lot of time and responsibility and...
Well, it's got to be embedded. This is the whole thing with the curriculum. It's got to be embedded. So you can't just one week go, right, we're going to recycle this, we're going to water this, we're going to do this, and then the next week nothing happened. There's no point.
No.
It's like you said, baby steps. Set some things through your quip, like so you've got a quality improvement plan. So set some goals and then sit down and brainstorm, jump on these pages and have a look at ways. Like, we've just had Clean Up Australia Day. That's another thing, that a great community thing that, you know, families could, you know, meet each year. It's around March every year.
Okay.
You know, again, that's something that might take a little bit of planning, but you're involving the community, involving the families in that as well. So, like, you know, there's a whole lot of different options, like down to your banana water and, you know, putting banana peels in water for 2 to 3 days is a really good thing to, you know, to water your gardens and stuff like
That's dedication.
Well, see, then you could also, a bit like the, like, you know, the compost, the worm farms and things like that with your worm wee, then you could, you know, give that to families to take home to water their gardens and stuff like that as well. So,
Look, I mean, you know, that's what I mean by, and say our listeners listening to that, you go, oh,
it feels like there's so much.
That sounds, you know, like, leave that to when you've got all the other boxes ticked.
Well, that's just it. Start with your basic stuff and sit down and have those conversations and work out what is going to work for your service as well. Because you might find that, you know, oh, we can't do this, or this is not going to work, but these other practices we can do, you know. And, you know, you've got something around the centre saying, you know, like, turn off the lights and stuff like that. And then that just could become part of your, you know, your newsletters.
One thing that you do, it makes a difference. So on top of that, start building up
on
those things. But that's great that, you know, this is part of the curriculum.
Yeah, and I think it's just about, you know, sharing the ideas and stuff like that as well.
Again,
like,
too, we're educating these young learners, you know.
Well, yeah, a bit like us with the recycle bins. We never had that. So now this generation will be the norm.
Yes.
And bringing those families into it as well. So even another really just like one of the last ideas is you could even send home a recycling book. So, you know, you can have a story in there about recycling. Then you can have like one of those notebook things in there where each family could jot down in there,
how did we recycle this week or today?
And some ideas. So it becomes a journal for the centre and then other families can see that. And like I said, they may, you know, they may BS in there and go, oh, yeah, we did all this stuff. And they're going, yeah, no, we don't do any of that. But at least it creates those conversations.
It does. It can give you some ideas too.
Well, that's right. And then you can get some family input back into it. They might even be able to suggest some things for the service to do, and we're always after that family input and that. So,
Well, that's great. You know, it's important that we take care of the environment.
Well, it's becoming more and more important in our daily lives, as well as in, like, especially with the ERLF curriculum. It's just, you know, one of those things that, like I said, we can give anyone a few ideas after today's podcast.
Like I said, don't get too overwhelmed about it, because I know, you know, since from when I've been out of the industry for a while, there's so much more responsibility that educators have to do in the centre. You know, all this writing up and evaluations and so forth. And
documenting and risk assessments.
You know, that's a lot. So, you know, just like you said, each centre is differently and just take one step at a time and build on it. And like you said, you know, it's good to have the team all on board.
Yeah.
And
well, it makes it easier for everybody, you know. Like, you don't really, like I said, you might have that one person, but you don't want that person doing everything. It shouldn't be on them. They can just help to guide that part of the program. So,
Anyway, well, we hope we've given you some ideas and,
Yeah, and feel free to, you know, pop some more ideas underneath in your comment section as well. So we're always after some new ideas.
All right, guys, thank you so much for listening and, we'll see you next time.
Yep. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.